This is May 12th, and the next meeting will be on June 16th, 1991, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well then, my friends, good morning.
Good morning.
And since this is the day that you have designated to honor that part of consciousness called motherhood, I think whatever else might be said, no matter how the situation may have unfolded, either for you as mother or as you of having a mother, one thing has to be seen very clearly in the heart. It is one of the toughest assignments given. And it's extremely difficult because you're constantly setting yourself against some kind of ideal perfection that has never really been clarified. And so there is this constant feeling of failure. You see, in many other jobs that are given, assignments, it's very clear, you know, if you end up with more salary than you came in, if your car is bigger and your office is bigger and you have more people working under you, then you are a success. But in the realm of being a mother, this doesn't happen at all. And so there's no gauge, and therefore it's one of the most difficult, and I'm just simply pointing that out. So those of you who are mothers who feel that perhaps failure was how you would approach it, if you would please allow yourselves to rest in a sense of knowing that each mother performs that job in a very unique way. And no child comes to you as mother that does not have a very good idea as to the basics of the blueprint, the basic outline. And so I just ask you to rest easy. There are as many different ways to be a mother as there are mothers doing the job. And to quit assessing yourselves, please, against a criteria outside yourself, in some way external to you, and to just rest in the knowing that all participants have a great deal more knowledge of what they are participating in than the conscious mind allows. All right, so then if we could go on to what I hope is step two. Those of you who were here last month, do you remember that we're beginning some kind of a program here? And the idea is that you will begin to get as definite an idea of what it is you are doing as expanding awareness as you possibly can, because the more that you know about what you're trying to do, the better you can do it. It is extremely difficult to get to a particular point, an ending point, when you do not really know what it is that you're moving toward, when you have a vague idea. For example, you say, I want to realize God. Now, that's very vague. My friends, that's as vague as you can get, because you see, we have to talk about God in various levels. Now, I have spoken to you before, and I'd like to just bring it up again in the short form, about building blocks of consciousness. We talk about the building blocks of consciousness in various ways, but one way I'd like for you to think about it today, please, is a block within a block within a block within a block. Very, very small ones, and then ever-expanding, ever-enlarging blocks around it. So the very center point of consciousness, if we could see it as a sphere or whatever pleases you, is in the center, and then we have ever-increasing, expanding spheres or blocks outside of that. Now, the exciting thing is that while you as yourself are expanding ever into your wonderful, ever-greatly expanding understandings, so is everyone else in their own so-called separate sphere, expanding into theirs as well. And the excitement here is that all of these spheres overlap. You overlap in many, many places of consciousness, which is why you can even speak to each other. If you were really in isolated spheres, you wouldn't even be able to verbalize. You realize that the most difficult way to connect with anyone is through words, because the words have very different meanings, not only within from one culture to another, but within your own lives. It is, you know, you say, for example, the word mother to one person means a world of difference to the word mother to another person. You understand immediately, or father, or child, or a job, or with sexuality, whatever it might be. So you don't really have as much common ground as you think you do when it comes to your vocabulary. But the way that you can really experience another's essence, another's sense of their beingness, not all of their ego manifestation, but their vaster sense of source and oneness. You can feel that because these wonderful building blocks, these spheres, interlap. And they're constantly overlapping each other. And as you, instead of being just a series of circles, and then there are series over there looking at each other, it's this wonderful play of consciousness. Now, those of you who have been listening to this all these years, you remember in the beginning time the wave of awareness that we began by stating that what you are is not only the wave of awareness moving through all time-space, outside of time-space, as vast as your imaginings can push it and pass that, you are that, but at the same time, you are this wonderful little seemingly isolated sphere, which we would call a bubble, within that wonderful wave of consciousness. So you are both. When you are in your physical body, when you are really very, very determined to experience yourself only as human, then you only experience yourself as that small, isolated particle, or if I could put it this way, pinpoint of consciousness, a little bubble of awareness. You stay within your parameters. You run up against your limits, your body, your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, and you say, well, that's it. That's me. I don't go past this. Well, when you have that kind of framework, you will find yourself constantly bumping up against other particles who have that same understanding. Do you understand? And this is where you get into your so-called difficulties, because you're isolated, they're isolated. The only way that you can meet, it seems that you sort of bang against each other. You know, you come up and then you have your words. You confront each other. You front on each other. You, all of these words. Well, that is fine, but that is only the very beginning of consciousness. And I ask you today to remember that what we're trying to do in step two is to allow you to re-remember that, contrary to what all of your senses will tell you, you are something so different and so much more expansively magnificent, majestic, wondrous, vast, and extending and creative than that limited self that you are pretending to be. Now, you are yourself. Please, let's not use silly words. You are who you are. You are living a life. You're very aware of it. You interface constantly with your mental being, your emotional being, all of that, your physical life, all of that. It's very real. And we don't need to tell you that, because you remember that. I do not have to tell you every day you are a human being living a life. You don't come all this way to hear this. But you might have come this way to remember that feeling of claustrophobic isolation, that sense of being alone and lonely and adrift, comes when you have taken the focus of your awareness and placed it right in that small particle, that small bubble that is in this vast sea. Now, today's step is to, as best as we can, describe what we will call, for the want of a better word, the next expansion outside of yourself. Outside of your physical, then there is another expansion. Now, this other expansion has been called many things. For this discussion today, let us just call it your higher self or your high self, whatever words work for you. Please don't get stuck in definition here. But what I want you to do is to please leave today with an understanding that those words, the high self, the higher self, whichever one, are very real in a very definite way. And step two is to present to you, as we hope to do various other awarenesses, to present to you a verbal description of what the high self is, how to access it, and of what use it is, and what part it plays in the wholeness of things. The reason that we have chosen the high self as the next step is it is the easiest thing for you to reach. You know, Not one of you has difficulty reaching your physical body. To such an extent that you, to whatever extent you pay attention to it, you know it well, you know what it thinks, you know what it feels. All of that is in aliveness, and it's beautiful, and it's wondrous. So with that same intensity, we would like you, please, to begin to explore and to understand and to move around within the sphere of what you would call your higher self, so that that sphere of awareness is as real to you as your physical body is now. Now, the wonderful thing about this, if you will proceed in very simple ways, which we'll discuss, you'll begin to have the idea and the excitement of seeing the high self in other people. Now, unless you have some difficulty with your eyes, when you open your eyes and look at someone, you know that you are seeing someone. You don't ever question it. You are able to know many, many things about that person by just looking at them. You're able to, in fact, it's interesting, the amount of data that you accumulate instantly. You know, you give wonderful credit to these $10,000 computers, or I guess they're much, much more, however much. You see Taos, you know, 10,000 in Taos, 100,000 in Albuquerque, who knows? But in any case, a very large, expensive apparatus, and you give a lot of power to their ability, but in truth, my friends, your computers run much faster, with much more accuracy, and what you are doing constantly, which is one of the reasons that you sometimes go home from the day or the night of work and feel very tired, is you're constantly scanning. You are constantly out there scanning. You scan all the time. You scan in front of you, behind you, above you, below you. As you sit in the second story or the tenth story of a building, you scan up, you scan down, you scan to the side. You're not conscious of this, but you're constantly scanning in all directions. And that scanning process, that scanning process has one job, which is to assess your safety. That's the only reason that you have this tremendous desire, because there's the necessity to be safe. And the scanning operation is going on all the time. Now, because you are so multifaceted, you have so many floppy disks available to you, you are constantly putting in and out floppy disks. Now, in truth, this is true, because you see, you move from one realm of scanning to the other. Just as your computer has many, many programs to present to you, so does this wonderful essence of being, which is your own personal computer of consciousness. It is the building blocks of consciousness. It is that wonderful, magnificent array of possibility, of potentiality, of knowing that is constantly surrounding you. You are filled with possibilities all the time. Now, if I might be a little bit rude, I hope you don't mind, many of you are overdoing some of these floppy disks. You know, you're putting them in all the time. You are not understanding that you can take them out with the same ease and put a whole new data bank in. I use these analogies because you do this so blasély in your world of computer, move out of all kinds of things quickly, involve yourself in brand new worlds of interest and excitement at the turn of a dial, and yet you have such trouble believing you have the same access to your own computer banks of consciousness. Now, none of you would particularly want to own a television set that only had one channel. In fact, that's one of the dilemmas of living in Taos, is it not? And that rarely is that. In any case, so the knowledge that you would not even entertain the purchasing of such a piece of equipment, and it has to come in multicolors, and it has to have access to the whole globe, and you have to have news in 2 seconds, and so on. All of this you accept with a great deal of expectancy, and in fact you are very upset if anything goes awry. Now, I want, please, for you to understand that our goal is to have you know in the ensuing months that same shift, that same availability for all other kinds of information is also available as well. The beginning teaching, we've said it before, we will say it again, the beginning teaching states something like this: I now know on the mental level that shifting is possible. It begins when you have a body form. Many of these expansions begin in the mental realm. It begins with me saying to you, and I want you to hear it very clearly, you have the ability to shift channels constantly. And past that, you have the ability to move from one data bank of a perception to another one. Now, this whole idea of the high self is very exciting. It's the one that is brought forward most of the time in your literature, and it's very obvious why. It's the next one up. You see, to talk about experiencing yourself as pure conscious awareness, vast, endless, without boundaries, is a little more difficult. And it's not that it can't be done, but I will be frank, it is a little more difficult. And it takes a stretch. You know, it takes a big stretch to move outside of all creation, outside of all form, into the formless. Can it be done? Absolutely. What is an enlightened one? An enlightened one who is stretched so far that all of the formation of form has absolutely passed, they've passed it, if you could put it this way, stretched past it into that incredible space of awareness where no form exists, where, if you could put it this way, the source of all things resides, where the deep self just is as it is, where pure conscious being without form just is. Now, that is the goal of the human consciousness. You all know this. You've read it. You've heard it. That is the goal. Is it impossible? No. But one very exciting and perhaps helpful step for some of you is the next one. Now, my friends, look. If you have decided that you do not want to fuss with the second step, if you have decided that your goal is to expand past all forms, then what we are going to say now can just be seen as a chapter in a book that you can listen to and move on to the next chapter. I am not insisting that you all do what we are about to describe. For some of you, you want something more expansive, all right? So by all means, be my guest, do it. But for those of you who have perhaps had a sense of needing an in-between state, in needing some kind of a bridge between that which you experience as your physical body and that which you know in your being as that vast expanse of openness without limit, then this perhaps might help. All right. Now, the first thing we need to do is to try to give you a sense of how to sense the high self. Now, I use words differently from other people, and so what? They're just words. But I'd like to clarify. When I speak of the high self, I am not speaking of the deep self. When I speak of the deep self, I'm talking about that which is the space of pure conscious awareness beyond form, beyond words, that cannot be spoken, that can only be felt, that can only be experienced. So the deep self to me, in the terminology that we share, is the self with a capital S. It's that which is the all. It's that which is whatever you call it, Brahman or God or pure consciousness. Name it as you will. The void, name it, whatever. That's that. That's the deep self. But the high self is different. Now, when you begin to get excited about moving out of the building block of consciousness that says, this is who I am Mary Margaret, or I am George, or I am Josephine, or I am Agnes. When you finally decide that you have really experienced Agnes enough, and that you understand a lot about Agnes, and that you don't really need a whole lot more information about Agnes, then one of two things. Either you'll die because you'll say, well, this is it. And then you become senile. You know, many people become senile simply because they appear to be senile. But what they're doing is experiencing other things other than Agnes. But those other things other than Agnes cannot be spoken about. They cannot be described. They cannot be put into words. So when you experience someone as going senile, if you could have a little bit of humor, and when you begin to do it yourself, by all means have a lot of humor. Because it's a very interesting state. You see, once again, when the focus is, we have got to make sure Agnes knows she's Agnes. We can't allow Agnes to fly away and not be Agnes. She has to be Agnes. Why? Because the only way I know how to relate to Agnes is if she stays Agnes. If you really realize that these wondrous psyches are doing something much more interesting, they are, if I could put it this way, experimenting, playing with other kinds of realities, other realities other than Agnes. And so when they re-enter, a lot of information is lost because they have literally began to move away from the data bank of the physical being, the mental, emotional. I've told you, it takes a lot of energy to keep being Agnes. It's a tremendous amount of psychic energy to stay focused and to remember all of your past as Agnes, your present, to remember your future, to remember the children, the grandchildren, all the millions of events that have happened to you, all of the conversations. Do you remember? That's an awful lot of data that you have to bring up in an instant. And if you're not able to, people say there's something wrong with you. My suggestion is there might be something right with them, that they have explored all of that and are moving towards something a little more exciting. So I ask you to be humorously aware and excited by the process. Now, it's difficult for you, who is the one taking care of Agnes, or, you know, anyone. I just picked that name. But the being that there is this, that's how you relate. So if you can expand around all of these events so that you begin to exercise a little expansion, you might be able to touch in to where they are much more readily, and which will relieve a lot of the anxiety. If they can't verbalize it for you, it's probably because they've moved to a nonverbal realm. And is that so bad? They have probably begun to drift into a nonverbal realm of consciousness. And then when they return, the data, if I could use it in your terminology, does not compute. And that is literally what is happening. It does not compute. So instead of being anxious, just allow that excitement to take hold of you. Instead of feeling sorry or any kind of pity or regret that they are not staying as Agnes, to begin to be excited about the expanse of potentiality. Because once you allow them to be that expanded, even though it is garbled to you, I promise you there is always a computer in place. Now, let me say what I mean. Just as there is a very clear computer in the physical body that you all relate to and understand, there is a computer in what I would call the high self. There is a very definite mechanism of consciousness, a mechanism of consciousness that is definitely in the high self. And when anyone moves out of their identity by floating out, they move into the identity of the high self, which you spend a lot of your sleep state in the high self, and then you move on to the deep self, all right? Now, when you begin this expansion, as soon as someone relaxes, as in sleep, as in having a stroke, as in having a coma, any of the obvious things, what they have done is relaxed. Their physical body has relaxed. In fact, when you look at the physical body, it looks to be sagging and so on. This is a relaxation. Now, for those of you that want to keep Agnes together, this is difficult and can be very heartbreaking. But if you can just remember, it's the first marvelous relaxation and letting go. What is happening is, with that letting go happening, they move into the next awareness, which is the high self. Now, the delight of this is that the information that they are receiving, having no physical counterpart, is not transferable through their speech. It's not transferable in any way except, and this is an interesting point for you to consider, except for their energy field. Many times, my friends, when you are in the midst or with someone who's under tremendous physical stress in one of these ways, in a coma or in a stroke or in some things like this, and you get past all of the verbal and you just simply begin to sit with them, you begin to sense something differently. Their energy field seems to be different in a way that the words do not talk about. There is something very excitingly different in being around them. You begin to feel a little bit of relaxation if you can get past your own anxiety about the situation. Now, when you imagine to begin imaging for yourself, the high self for you, one of the basic components that has to be stated is you'll begin to feel relaxed. You will begin to feel there is a letting go. There is a, if we could put it this way, the old computer begins to quiet down. And without even being aware of it, a form of relaxation has taken place. You begin to be at ease with yourself in another way. Now, how do you begin to access? Step number one. You listen, please, as carefully as you can, to the words that state, the High Self is constantly in and around you, in and around you, in all directions, at all times. It has the data necessary to draw you to it. You do not have to understand how to reach it. Your part of the excitement, because you don't know how to run your body, and it runs very well. You don't know how to breathe. You don't know how to make your arteries pump. You don't know how any of this happens, and yet it's happening. That same expectant basic belief that you have every moment that your body is going to know how to run itself, I ask you to have about the High Self, which is that the High Self has the absolute knowing of what it's doing. You, as the human consciousness, do not know that, and the excitement is you don't need to. You do not have to take a crash course on the High Self. Because the wonderful thing is the High Self, just as the physical, mental, and emotional selves know their jobs, so then does the High Self. What you need to do is understand the excitement that there is just beyond the parameters of your consciousness, just outside of the physical body as you are experiencing it, this something else, this magnificent something that when you just begin, as we tried last month, to expand into it, that's the only part of the job that's yours, is to consciously begin to cease putting the focus of the awareness just in the physical body and stretch it so that it now includes that which is outside of it as vastly as you can. When you begin to do that and just rest in it without any kind of ideas as to what it's going to sound like or look like or feel like, it will begin to impress itself on you. Now, my friends, look, I've told you, and you all know this, you are not a body. There is something that is your awareness that is focused at this moment inside of a body. That is absolutely true. And it is that focus of your consciousness that makes you experience yourself as a body. The minute that you die, that focus of awareness takes itself out of the body and places it in another state of awareness. Usually, that which is right outside the body, well, why? Well, because it's the next thing to do. Now, once again, remember the basic teachings. If you have decided that you need to die soon or want to die soon, do remember, please, that what you are doing the minute that you become aware that you have begun to transit out of focus in the physical, then you have the excitement of making up your awareness as to where you want to focus, which is why we keep saying to you, please, look around, find that point of light. Remember, we've talked about this. Focus on it. We are asking you now to understand what we're talking about. The focus inside keeps the body alive. You plus it, this wonderful I, the all things, keeps this body going. It keeps the mind in motion, the brain infused. It keeps it all delightfully extending. The minute that that particular focus is no longer appropriate for whatever reason, there is a rising up, a moving of your point of awareness outside of the physical body. The minute that you decide upon that exit that you want to put it, your focus, on the point of light, that is precisely what you will focus on, and that is the identity, in quotes, that you will take over. Do you understand? Now, what usually happens, and I might as well tell you, because you're all going to experience this, and the minute I say it, you're going to understand it. There's nothing new here. You know, you've only done this how many times? You know, how many times have you driven a car? Well, here we are. How many times have you left your body? I'm just trying to remind you of the mechanics, you know. I may not be around when it's your time to exit, so let's just make it very clear. Oftentimes, there is a, you see, when the minute that you move the focus out of the physical and put it in the room, say, that you are in, that you're dying in, then all the mental games start to play. Well, I wonder if anybody's going to be sad. I wonder if they'll all come to my funeral. I wonder how many flower bouquets I'll get. I wonder, do you understand? All of that, you know, is a point of focus. And at that moment, thank you, Ms. Fuller. At that moment, she's laughing. At that moment, you have the absolute opportunity to now take your focus and stick it, you know, in the corner of the hospital room or the bedroom or wherever you might be, and stick it there. I mean, you know, please understand, you are the one that moves it. So you can put it there and then look around and do all of that. Oh, thank you. On the other hand, you have another option, which is to look around. Find that which most excites you as a point that you wish to stay. You don't want to stay slapped up against the wall of the hospital operating room. That is a very boring way to spend the rest. You know, it's just not useful. So I'm just trying to enliven you to what you need to understand, which is at that moment, you will have perfect sight. Look around, pick your spot, and go to it. Now, remember the point of light. We've talked about it before. Anyone exiting a body, if they will look for it, will always find a point of light. That is the entrance to the high self. All of the rest of it is going to be emotional body, mental body, astral body. These are not of interest to you. What you really want, my friends, is to focus on the light that stands behind all of that. And the exciting thing is, the light will be the most obvious thing around you. And, you know, you don't have to kind of look around and I wonder where it is, you know. Did they forget to show up? Is it going to be there? You see, that isn't it. That wondrous, I know it's here, and just the relaxation, and then it begins to move towards you. The exciting thing is all that you are doing when you select that point of consciousness is you have taken, again, remember, you are pure conscious awareness that focuses wherever it pleases. You take it and you're placing it now in that light. And because the light knows what to do, you don't have to teach it. It knows what to do. It simply begins to draw you. Now, in many of the descriptions, they are just beginning to be drawn towards something. Do you remember? They're just beginning to be drawn. I think one of the most exciting ones is the one of Carl Jung in his Memories, Dreams, Reflections. Dr. Jung went about as far as you can go and still be able to re-enter. You know, he went way out there. And as those of you who have read his text realize that as he was dying, he felt the propulsion of his awareness moving. Then he found himself in this marvelous cave, and this magnificent being is there. And, you know, for you, you don't have to sit down and do it the way Dr. Jung did it, but this one was a great intellect. You know, Carl Jung was a great intellect, and it's not very likely that he's going to go to the heart of God. He's going to go to the mind of God, because that's the part that interests him, all right? And let's be frank. He's a wonderful intellect. So here he is, and he's beginning to finally understand what all of these years are about, and then all of a sudden, he finds himself fading, making the reverse journey. Now he's going back into the physical, and he's going, oh, dear. In fact, I'm sure he said something much more graphic than, oh, dear. But never, whatever that might be, in is he German? Whatever it might be in his language, whatever, anyway, in whatever case. So then the back into the body and the, oh, my goodness, here we are again. All right, now, and the frustration and resentment and so on. Now, that is all that we can say here about Dr. Jung was that having worked in the world of archetypes, he decided that the archetype that stood for the wise one, the light, the awareness, was, what is it going to be? For a student of deep Indian East Indian culture, he studied it all the time. What was he going to look for? Why, the wise old man, and there he is. And he's seated in this cave. Why not? It's quiet, and there's the two of them. Now, are you going to have, is this going to be your roadway? I have no idea. It depends on what model of awareness, of that point of pure conscious awareness manifesting as the high self, is that you have in your mind. And that's what the point of today is. I want you, please, to get a sense inside of yourself of the light. I want you, please, to begin to just, in the next few weeks, turn your awareness toward the light. For example, those of you who have been very, very dedicated in doing the homework, to the expanding, as you begin to expand, if you could just, as the second step today, just have a sense that you're expanding toward light. Now, you don't have to go through trying to see the light and pushing through the darkness and so on, unless that appeals to you. Now, every time I look at this group, I see many, many points of the Course in Miracles, which carries a very definite vibrational frequency, which is why I can see it. It is, after all, in you. And so, when you get to that place in the Course in Miracles, when they talk about Christ or Jesus, however you want to talk about it, pulls you through the clouds. Do you remember that part? Pulls you through the clouds into the clearness of consciousness. This is the same kind of thing. In your case, the idea of the light would be something to do with Christ consciousness, whatever that is. The reason I'm asking you to think about it, or at least dwell on it in the next few weeks, is because some of you are very vague. And the less vague you are, the sooner you're going to have the delight of feeling that expansion. So please, in the next few weeks before we meet again, would you just hold the idea of light in you in some way? And don't make rules up about it, you know? Just allow light, which is that which is the high self, which is the doorway to an amazing, wonderful experience, to just kind of drift in and out of your consciousness. As you go to bed at night, if you just dwell, please, on light. I mean, just bring it up as a possibility, as a potentiality, without giving it rules and regulations. It's that which is in the space between things. It is that which is between ideas. You know, ideas have shapes and forms. It's that which is outside of ideas, outside of beliefs, outside of thought forms and all kinds of mental constructs. It's that which is outside. And its basic component and the way that you experience it is as light. Now, the reason it's important to understand this is when you're out of your body, a lot of the things that you have come to see and count on as points of contact are not going to be there. But the one that will always be there is the light. It's in there now. For example, when you become enlightened, and my absolute prayer for everyone in this room this day and who is listening to this tape or reading a transcript of this material, my absolute prayer for you is before you leave this body, you will know the light in its very basic dynamic presence within your being, to see it with those inner eyes, to really see it, to feel it in your heart, to really know it, not as an abstraction of consciousness for another lifetime or for when you die, but for now. It is available now. You know, it's in there. It's also out here. It's everywhere. So to excite yourself about the reality of light, without definition, without reading books about it. Write your own book about it. And the reason that the light is the doorway is that it is perceivable without eyes, without physical body. Anyone who reaches really expanded states of consciousness, the one thing they say is, oh, look at the light. The light is everywhere. In the midst of what they call love, How do they describe love? As light. And it is knowable. We began, these many years ago, with a very basic truth, and we have worked with it in many ways, which is energy follows thought. We can now take that statement and place it on a higher level, because all of you coming on a magnificent day such as this day, with all of that beautiful sunshine out there, You must have a part of you that knows that the sunshine is inside of you today in this room, or you wouldn't give that light up to come here to seek another light. So you all know. So I'm just reminding you that the more that you focus your whole awareness on light, abstractly, not defining, just light, you are taking your awareness and placing it in that trajectory. You are on your way. In other words, as you begin to move your energy in your own imagining and in your own thoughts and in your own prayers, what is happening is it begins to resound. Remember, you move out, it moves toward. It knows what to do. You know, any mother hearing a child calling it is going to respond. Any loving mother will respond. If you think that you are loving to your children, to you who are fathers, to respond to your children, may I tell you that this light of consciousness contains so much more love than you can possibly imagine. And it's almost as if its only job is to wait for you to call so it can move toward. Its job is to move. You know, everything is in motion. So one way of talking about this is the next building block of consciousness, this next sphere of awareness that extends endlessly outside of you, that is the deep self, is always waiting for the call of your own mind and heart. When you are praying, what are you doing? You are sending out a call to that part of your consciousness, which is the high self. You know, you may call it God, and it doesn't mind. It's all right. Because to say it is God is to say truth and to say untruth. It is truth in the sense that everything is God. It is untrue in the sense that it is not all of God. And that you will begin, remember I've told you, that this wonderful game of creating consciousness is endless as far as my extension has gone. Now, do I say with absolute certainty that there is no end to extension? I cannot say, and who cares? All I know is, it is the most extending of consciousness is the most exciting thing around. And I am quite sure that since God is not stupid and that God must enjoy all kinds of experiences, should there be an end to creating, should there be an end to something past pure void and pure consciousness, whatever it is, I look forward to it with the same delight that I do what we're doing. Whatever's out there, it's going to be just as wondrous, perhaps even more. Who can say? When you begin to understand what you are doing in the body and what you will be doing outside of the body, then excitement can take place of fear. You are making every effort to expand into varying, expansive, lighter, more, how can I even put it, where things move much more magnificently, much more rapidly than they are experiencing within the physical form. So, the homework assignment for those of you who choose to work with it in the next few weeks is to just begin to keep light as a focus of your awareness in whatever you're doing, as you go about your business of whatever it might be doing, as much of the time in that vague, wondrous openness, just to remember light. And to just say the word, just as in prayer, what you're doing is you are sending, in prayer, you, for someone who's really praying, the reason that, all right, let's talk about some kind of automatic prayers. And the reason that an automatic prayer does not work, whether it's a mantra or no matter how powerful the prayer, automatic prayer means it's going on inside of you, but your focus is not on the prayer. Your focus is you are doing Om Mani Padme Hum, and you're wondering whether you have enough, you know, lettuce to make the salad. Now, that kind of prayer doesn't shift the focus. Remember what you're doing. You take the focus out of your body focus, expand it so that it is definitely focused on something outside of you, something vaster, or inside of you, if that is the way that you move, inward or outward. People go in two directions. But it is that all-consuming focus that places you right in it. And what you have done, my friends, is to just take the focus and place it definitely somewhere else. Now, I want to say this. Unless you leave your body during prayer or meditation, you are focused in the body and at the same time focused in other realms of reality. You do this all the time. You are just not aware of it. One of the things that science is going to begin to do is to develop machines that show the off and on, the in and out of your psyche, how they focus into the earth, into the world of matter, and then in an instant they focus in something another way. And won't the scientists have great fun defining what that other is? It will be great fun. Well, what is it, as you say? We have to get the words right. But it'll be wondrous, because what they're going to sense is that which is what many shamans experience, is the fluctuating on and off of focus in the physical and then focus in the other. Focus in the physical and in the other, which is what keeps you alive. If you were totally focused in the physical and not in the other, you'd die. It's just very, very plain. So it's this wonderful, majestic motion of consciousness. So when you begin to realize that every night of your life you take the focus out of your physical body, stick it in your dream body. You have a dream body. We can talk about it any way you want, but for today, a dream body. And there in the dream body, you're focused, looking all around. Oh, this is the dream world. Oh, here I am. Do you understand? Now, this is just so you understand what you do. Now, you look around and say, well, that's enough of that. And so then you take the focus and you put it, and now you don't know where. You see, you take it and you put it someplace where you cannot remember name or form. And as I said to you last time, when you come back, you never are surprised that you're still there. You realize that you are still you. You have gone through hours and hours of you know not what. What have you done? You've taken the focus of your consciousness, placed it someplace outside of the reach of your normal human antenna, computer of awareness, experienced incredible vast realms. Do you remember last time we talked about those millions of miles tall energy fields of consciousness that were just moving throughout space, that the entire universe could be seen within them? Those are the realms that you visit every night of your life. So, who are you? Who are you? This is the basic question. You must be ready to answer for yourself, in your being. Who are you? If you can do this, if you can focus and live an exciting, even though perhaps painful, existence here in physical form, if you can exist in the dream world, exploring endless realms of magnificent, absolutely majestic dreams, both nightmare and exalted, if you can experience hours and hours of a deep association of consciousness past your mind's ability to grasp it, then I ask you, who are you? More important, I ask you, what are you? Your identification has got to begin to stretch. You have got to stretch. The whole point of not coming back lifetime after lifetime through bodies is finally one time you say, I have explored the world of living in a body, and that's enough. I'd like to now focus on another level of consciousness. And then experience it in the same wondrous way, with the same depth, with the same life, with the same wonder, with the same expansion as you are doing this one. It's all a matter of choice. So, along with the light, I want you please, in these weeks, to begin to ask yourself quietly, as you go to bed at night, as you awaken in the morning, as you move through your day, I want you please to make alive the question, who am I? Who am I? Your mind will not answer it, because your mind can only stretch so far. I'm talking about, excuse the words, monkey mind. instead of Buddha mind. All right? Because there's a very small mind and there's a very vast mind. But to say that you are God is to say nothing. That's a word. To say you are pure conscious awareness is to say nothing. Those are words. But to begin to spend your day asking quietly, continuously, with delight and excitement, ah, who or what am I? When you begin to entertain that question with all of your awareness, and it comes to you as you go about this process, you begin to stretch because you have decided to relax around the identity of who you are. For example, if you go around continuously saying, I am whatever your name is, and I want my entire world to keep reminding me that I am whatever your name is, and that is exactly what you're going to see. But remember the excitement of the high self, that when you really decide to experience it, which you do by the expansion that we talked about last time, when you begin the expansion, and now with the sweet delight of throwing in as the possibility something about light, being as vague as you can, you are stretching. What you are doing is giving the part of you permission to extend so that a reality of you that is ever eminent, waiting to be experienced, will then begin to you will begin to experience it. All great meditators or people who do great prayer, what are they doing? They are in their words, they're trying to get out of their small self and expand into the God self. All right, the God self and high self, call it whatever you want, but that is the action that you're talking about. And this delight is that you can do it, and it's ever waiting, and it's the most exciting thing that I can think of to tell you. But it begins with you and your desire to stretch into it. You know, the idea is not that you call it towards you and somehow it cracks through your skin and inundates you. You know, it's not like that. You have to realize that not only are you this small self, this person with this body and all of the limitations, all of that, but at the same moment, you are this immensity. Do you see anything that you can perceive you are as well? My friends, doesn't that make sense to you? That if you can perceive it, then in some way, if perhaps you cannot say that you are it, that's a large leap, but can you at least say that there is a connection between you? That anything that you can perceive, is there not a connection in some way between you and it? Would we not be able to say that? That something is connecting you? And if it connects you, then it connects on that side and it connects on this side. So however vast. And when you go into your dream state, when you go past the dreams into that wonderful sphere of the something, it's all a part of the wholeness. Now, look, some of you have the ability to expand way out there and to remember. Any of you can begin to do that. The dream state, the sleep state, does not have to be a closed book. How do you get there? Well, you know, everyone says, well, just go to bed at night and say, I want to get there. Well, my friends, that's very, very nice. I don't believe it. Because it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because they doesn't have that focus. When you all of the day begin to extend and expand and be aware of the expansion, what's going to happen in the dream state, you begin to expand as well. Meaning you will bring back much more data. Do you understand? You will bring back much more data. The farther that you expand in your conscious state, the more data you are able to bring back. And if your lives are boring, it's because you have stuck yourself in a body, in a room, and said, this is it. And at any time, you can begin to expand past that. And as you do, the amazing data of other, in your words, other states of consciousness are available, and they come to you in marvelous knowings. So that you awaken with a knowing that all of those realms are real. They are as real, in some ways more real, than the world that you experience when you open your eyes. This is the world that changes. Have you noticed? This world is the world that changes all the time. all of the time. Your cells are constantly changing. You are not the same person that walked in this door that walks out. Endlessly, endlessly, moment after moment, change is what's going on. There are some realms where that is much, much different. And there is a magnificent sense of eternality, the eternal, the expanse of the whole. I can't even use words. But all of that is there. This is why they can say such things, that the one thing you know about the divine is that it's constant. Now, we don't even need to play with words. What I want you to do is play with your awareness. Do you remember last month we talked about beginning to use your consciousness as the most exciting toy that you have in your toy box? It is wondrous. You have had it here all the time. Now is the time to use it. Use it to expand. Use it to extend. Use it to delight you. Use it to get out of whatever state you're in, whether it's boredom or self-pity or loss or anger, or endless. Those are all encapsulated feelings. Expand out of them. It doesn't mean you have to abandon your feeling of self-pity, my friend. It'll be right there for you when you're ready. Believe me, you know, don't worry. It'll be there for you should you choose to re-enter and experience it. Remember, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you so. What? What do we mean? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Oh, there are many mansions. And one does not, if you really, really get excited about inhabiting other mansions of consciousness, then you have to give tremendous gratitude to all of the great saints that you call them saints, the great explorers of consciousness, who have explored and expanded into those other rooms, those other mansions, and have left traces through their word patterns to tell you about them. All right? All of these seven-story mansions, the seven-story mountains, what are they? Well, on the practical level, you have seven primary chakras. So there are going to be, there are many more, but there are certainly going to be seven mansions. Because each one of those chakras, if you like this terminology, is an entryway into one of your Father's mansions. Ride the energy. Don't stay stuck. Ride the energy. Just ride it out. Ride it out as far as you can go. Just ride it as far as you can. Why not? So, I would like to thank you all for coming. Remember, too, the next expansion of awareness that you are going to create, since you created this Bartholomew, the next thing you're going to create is going to be even more expansive. A rule of consciousness, it will not decrease itself. It will not decrease itself. So to whatever extent that we can expand in our motion between each other in these last months and however long, that is your creation. If you are sitting in here hearing it, it's yours. Remember Christ. All that I have experienced and more will you experience. All that I have been able to say to you and much, much more are you able to experience. All you have to do is to want to do it. So, for those of you willing, we will have a 10-minute expansion at the end.